Hello, I'm Steve Painting, and this is a reflection for Sunday the 26th of June, and it's based on the passage of Galatians 5 verse 1 and then verses 13 to 25. The Apostle Paul starts chapter 5 of his letter to the Galatians with the words, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." What other than freedom would Christ set us free for is the first thing that comes to my mind, but in these words, we find the emphasis and the point of Paul's letter. Life as a Christian should be characterised by a sense of freedom. Last week, I wrote about Jesus' healing of a demon-possessed man. He was someone who was truly enslaved and bound. His lifestyle was dictated and controlled by the evil forces that he had encountered in his life and the brokenness of his spirit. Such brokenness can cause any of us to become enslaved to unhealthy and restrictive patterns of behaviour. It often expresses itself through fear, which in turn causes us to adopt avoidance strategies. We might avoid social contact or normal activities that we think will cause us physical harm or illness. Fear of the unknown leads us to be suspicious of change and uncertainty, and we get stuck in the status quo. We can also be bound by a need to ease our inner pains, often manifesting in highly restrictive addictive behaviours. Fear and addiction, both of which may well have contributed to the affliction of the man in last week's story, prevent us from gaining fullness of life. As that story demonstrates, though, Jesus has the power to set us free. Back then to the letter to the Galatians, and it seems that they were in danger of losing the freedom that they had found in Christ. There were two particular matters that Paul advises them to guard against. The first is legalism, which Paul introduces in verse 1, writing, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." He goes on to explain this in the verses that have been omitted from our lectionary reading. It's worth, however, me saying a few words about them, as it is a matter that should still concern us today and helps us put in context the verses that are to follow. The Galatian church was being exposed to teaching that put forward the necessity of a law-based means of gaining righteousness before God, in particular the act of circumcision. It seems that it's hard to escape the tendency of churches to revert to legalism of this kind. In nearly all his letters, Paul has to stress that it is by Christ's death and resurrection, and that alone, that people are made right with God, and not by adherence to rules and regulations. As he states here, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love." That's verse 6. Indeed, when our faith is solely in the actions of Jesus on our behalf, we do not have to worry about rules. We are set free from the fear of whatever and whether we have got things right or wrong, and can live in freedom to love others. Whilst we are bound by rules to protect ourselves, our hearts cannot be fully responsive to the needs of others. We no longer have the freedom to love as God would have us love. The church, then, must not become enslaved by legalism. Yet we have to be careful about how we exercise the freedom that Jesus has gained for us. If we abuse that freedom, we become slaves to a different master, the one that Paul refers to in this passage we have read today, as the flesh. What he means is that we must not, in our freedom from the law, allow our spirits to become controlled and enslaved by our self-centered desires. If we do so, we will not only find ourselves dominated and bound by habits and behaviours that we cannot seem to overcome, but we will also damage the lives of others. Paul's lists of the acts of the flesh should make that quite clear. We instinctively know that things like sexual immorality, hatred, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, drunkenness and orgies are not only damaging to us as well as to others, but often habitual and binding. Other items in the list, though, are more subtle. We might say that we do not engage in idolatry, but we live in a culture based on a secularism that denies the need for God in our lives. When God is absent, we turn to idols, such as wealth, status, and power, and without really recognizing them as such, become enslaved by them. Individualism is another feature of contemporary culture, and therefore selfish ambition can easily thrive. People are lauded for success and achievement, and we thus strive for those things. Our lives can be dominated by the quest for success. It can also all too easily take over our lives and is often attained at the expense of others. True freedom, then, is not simply about having our own way, but about being in a space in which we can be fully human. I suggest we can never be truly free to do what we want, for we can only be entirely true to ourselves when we live as God intended. We must live according to his ways, the ways of the Holy Spirit. In this, we recognize the virtues of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and seek to live by them. But as Paul reminds us, they are in conflict with the flesh, and so in our own strength, impossible to fully embrace. Knowing the ways of the Spirit is one thing, living by them is another. It is a spiritual matter rather than a mental one. We cannot live by the Spirit by simply making up our minds to do so or by trying harder. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and transform our hearts, putting to death the ways of the flesh. To do so requires an attention to the Spirit's prompting and a willingness to yield to that prompting. This comes through the spiritual disciplines of humility, prayer, and worship. It can also be enabled by reflection on the Word of God as found in the Bible and the still small voice that comes in times of quiet meditation. Life in the Spirit is indeed liberating. It is the only way that we can avoid being consumed or controlled by the desires of the flesh, and it also sets us free from the fears that bind us in a rigid adherence to a legalism of our own making.